Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Everybody, this is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to this broadcast, Prophetic Atmosphere. I am excited that you are able to join me tonight for the broadcast, and I am ready to get into the Word of God and see what He has to say unto us. Amen. But before I begin, I just want to go quickly into the announcements and then immediately follow with prayer and then right into this Word. Just letting you know, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us, Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself, for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear every broadcast that we have at www.ctkr.org. Take time to visit the website, amen, learn more about us and the ministry. Pray about becoming a vision partner and a prayer partner, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen and amen. If any of you have prayer requests, if you would like to invite Apostle and myself for any ministerial engagements, as you're on our webpage, go to the contact page as you follow those instructions there. Someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Amen. Also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministry and Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD, has a Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page, people of God, like us there. Let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. 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 I'm excited. Those are the announcements for this evening. Let us look to the Lord this evening, and then let us get right into this. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, God, we glorify and we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. Beside you, there is no other God. We trust in you, God. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. You are our King. We worship your holy name. Even now, Father, as your people come, we uplift our hands this evening. We say thank you. We just begin to open up our mouths and we begin to worship you. Hallelujah. We begin to give your name praise. Hallelujah. We begin to give your name honor. Thank you, Jesus. You're holy. You're mighty. You're gracious. We, your people, we love you. We come before you. We bow down before you. We humble ourselves right before you, God. We ask, Holy Spirit, Father, if any sin that is in our lives, we ask for forgiveness right now. Wash us from our iniquity. Wash us from our unrighteousness. Forgive us, Father. Make us whole. Wash us in your blood. Cleanse us, God. In the name of Jesus, cleanse us in your blood. Make us white as snow on this evening. Lord, as we come before you, we, your people, we make it a stand, God. We make it a point to come and not only hear your word, but we come to be a doer of your word. Father, we ask right now that you would give us a spirit, or I should say your spirit of obedience, so that we may obey your word and walk out your kingdom assignment for our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we just begin to just magnify, we begin to glorify, we begin to just lift you up in this place. Hallelujah, you are mighty, you are holy, and you are just. There's no one else like you, God. We come, hallelujah, just thanking you and praising you. We magnify, glorify, we thank you for health, strength. We thank you for life. We thank you for your healing power. Father, I thank you for the apostles, the prophets, the fivefold that you are raising up in this hour that will not take back, but will stand for righteousness, will stand for truth. Father, I thank you right now that you are silencing the voice of the enemy in our ears. God, that you are shutting down, amen, the hand of wickedness in the name of Jesus, that we recognize the power and the authority that rests and rule on the inside of us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God, we just worship and lift your name up. You said if I will be lifted up, then you will draw all men unto you. We lift your name up today, God. We worship your holy name. There is no one like you. Who is greater than our God? There is no one greater. No, no one greater. God, we bless you. We magnify. We thank you. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your deliverance, God. We thank you for your saving power. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for a new day. Yes, God, we thank you for new life. We thank you that barrenness is no longer our portion. We bless you. 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 In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. Well, wherever you are, man and woman of God, people of God, just begin to worship the Lord right where you are. Just, you know, lift up your hand. Just open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Just give him the fruit of your lips, as they would say. Or if you don't understand that lingo, just say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. He's been good to you. You made it through the day. Maybe you even had a bad day. But you know what? You're still here. Nothing happened to you. Your kids are fine. Your home is fine. Amen. You made it safely over the highway and the byway. You got food on the table. Amen. You got a roof over your head. May not be the best roof that you want, but definitely you have a roof, and it's not the shelter or the street corner. Amen. We got to give thanks in everything. I know you might not have what your neighbor has up the street, but, you know, you need to thank God for what you do. Amen. He brought you from a long way. Hallelujah. He's kept you. Mm-hmm. He's been good to you. Yes, he has. Why? Because he didn't let the enemy consume you. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes it wasn't even the enemy, it was our own foolish self. And he didn't allow us to get in the way of us. Amen. And we are still here to give his name praise. Thank you, God. Listen, tonight, people of God, I want to talk to those tonight, minister to those tonight, from the book of Psalms. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 37. The book of Psalms, chapter 37. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. The book of Psalms, chapter 37. I want to start, amen, at the first verse. And then we're going to read down, to probably the eighth verse tonight. Amen. Chapter 37 of Psalms, the book of Psalms, reading from the first verse down to, and the word of the Lord reads, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But trust in the Lord. Yes, 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 yes. And do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off. For those who shall wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And the word of the Lord is blessed. Amen. Tonight, people of God, I just want to rest briefly right here, just pause for a moment, because we are living in time of, we've already heard the word of 2014. Everybody's been talking about the devil. And I mean the devil blessing. Some people have been talking about the devil blessing. Amen. Some have been talking about that we need to double up on how we've been acting and living and beginning to take seriously, amen, our callings, make our election sure. We need to take seriously our assignment, our task. We need to take seriously and just take a introspection of our life, amen. And one of the things that the Lord has been speaking to me about, besides obedience, because 2014 is a year of obedience. The Bible says, and you'll hear me say this often, that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, that if you are following the plan of God and you are following his purpose and you are walking in his standards, and you are living a life of righteousness and holiness, then you shall eat the good of the land. Now, I said if. What do you mean, prophet? Well, what I'm saying tonight, people of God, is that many words, many people are speaking a lot of prophetic utterances, but they're not of God. They're speaking more out of philosophies, more out of their own vainness, vain religion, and just their own perception of how they see things and how they view situations around them. And they're taking those perceptions and trying to mix in just enough of Jesus. And they just need to make, as they speak it into your hearing, it has a nice little sound and ring to it. And because you're not, if you're not skilled enough, or if you don't have the spirit of discernment, if you don't know how to rightfully divide this word, amen, then those vain sayings, those puffed up sayings, amen, those lies that are going through, you begin to believe what you're hearing, and then you'll start saying that this is truth, when in reality it is far from the truth. But God is saying tonight, if you were with me last week, he talked about sing, O barren woman. I was coming out of Isaiah 54. He talked that it was your time to sing. He said, strengthen up your cord. Begin to enlarge your gate. Be prepared that more your children will be greater, your spiritual children will be greater than those, the barren would be greater. The woman, let's go to the scriptures. How about that? Because I don't want to get to quote something, and after I just said what I said, let's go here, and it's going to be okay. How about that? Sing, it says, sing, O barren one, you who have not born, break forth into singing, cry aloud, you who have not labored with the children for children or with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. He's saying that it is your time, amen. It is your season if you have remained faithful and steadfast. If you have been able to go through the process that he has mapped out for your life, if you have been able to go through the challenges, if you have learned, you have fallen on your face every time that you go before him. When I say fall on your face, I'm talking about in prayer. You're allowing God to prick your heart. You're saying, none of me, more of you, not my will, God, but your will be done. And as you take on the character of Christ, amen, and as it's less of your character, and even though you've been going forth, you're singing, you're praising, you're magnifying, you're doing everything that you know how, and yet you see everybody else carrying children and being fruitful and bringing forth life, and here you sit with nothing. Here you sit year after year, pardon, with nothing, no children, nothing to show, no fruit from your labor. Amen. So God is saying, now is your time. You sing. You're coming forth with children, and your children will be greater than the one who is married, than the woman who is married. But he also said, listen, you do not need to spare, enlarge the place of your tent. Begin to stretch yourself out, as I talked about last week. Let your curtain, stretch the curtains of your dwelling. Begin to enlarge your plan, enlarge your vision. It's too small. It's already too small. God has given you something. He's given you a task. He's given you an assignment. He's given you a vision that is greater than what you can handle. It was not meant for you to handle it alone. It was not meant for you to carry the whole thing alone. Amen? It was just meant for you to get started and build from there. Go as far as the master will allow you to go. But while you're doing that, amen, bring you a successor along and pour into a Joshua. Amen? Pour into that Joshua, male or female, so that someone can carry the vision that God has placed in you, that the vision will not just die with you. We have too many men and women of God who have built the foundation, laid the foundation, amen, but they have not poured into anyone to carry the vision to the next level. And so when God calls that man or woman of God home, then the vision crumbles, then what the foundation that was built upon, amen, crumbles, or sometimes they just, the people that come afterwards who may not have the mind, amen, or may not have the heart of the original visionary, they come and they just tear down, amen, the whole entire vision, and then build their own monument, as I said before, and build their own kingdom and build their own golden statue, amen, unto themselves. And it was never the vision. It was never what God had intended, because the man or woman of God did not raise up another and pour into that one or build a successor. And then there are those, amen, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm really leaving it alone. There are some of those we try to pour into, amen, that God never wanted us to pour into. They were not the chosen ones. We chose them, but God didn't choose them. And we sat there and we tried to pour, some women of God, men of God have tried to pour into ones that they felt, amen, were the chosen one, when it could have been the younger one, when it could have been the nephew, when it could have been the niece, amen, when it could have been the great-great-grand whose hand, life that the Lord had his hand upon. But we're too busy trying to pour into the one that's next to us. And God may say, that's not the one that I called. Hmm? We know the story very clear, because all you have to do is look at Jesse and his sons. And after all the sons that were thought that they were going to be the ones, but the oil would not pour until David walked in the house. One of the least ones that they thought of, one that was already on the backside as far as they were concerned, one that was considered insignificant, was the one that was chosen. And we have a tendency, people of God, to choose those who look the part. They have all the pieces together. They have the right stance, the right thing. Amen. The aura seems to be working well, but that is not who the oil, when it's time for the oil to be poured upon them, the oil will not run. And that's why we have to be so close to God. That's why we have to have a spirit of discernment. That's why we have to know who is the next one. You cannot die with the vision that God has given you. You cannot die with the purpose, amen, that God has placed inside of you. So he says, strengthen the cords, enlarge your stakes, amen. Expand. He said, you will expand. This is your year of expansion, amen. You will go forth. But again, and I'm going to keep saying this because I need to make it clear, this is only for those, amen, who have gone through the process, who have surrendered, who walk in, whose lifestyle represents actually what's in this Bible. Didn't say we were perfect, amen, but yet we are striving to be like him. My food, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, my food is to do the will of the one that sent me and complete the work. That needs to be our motto. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Excuse me. You are bought with a price. You have no more does your opinion matter. I like that. No more than does your opinion matter when you give your life over to God. Now he has the final say. You go where he tells you to go. You say what he tells you to say. You do what he tells you to do. Now, our God is not a hard taskmaster. Amen. The Bible says that the yoke is easy, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And it is light. We make it hard, people of God, because in this flesh, there is no good thing. We want to do it our way when we feel like it. Well, today I want to be saved, so I'm going to go and do what I need to do. But tomorrow, I'm not feeling that thing. And I need to take a break. And we feel that we can just take a break on Christianity any time that we feel like it. But yet, when trouble comes, we're ready to call on every leader, call on every intercessor, call on every mother in Zion. Every prophet, we want everybody to fast. We ready to shut the whole household down. We going before God, and we ain't raising up until we hear a word. But up until that time, you was doing your own thing, living your own life, amen, saying whatever you wanted to say, and it was okay because I'm blessed. Well, if that is you who I just explained, this word is not for you tonight. I'm talking to those, amen? And even if you may find yourself, I'm not their prophetess, but I have a desire to be, then this is what we have to do, amen? Living right, living righteous, amen? Seeking to please him. I didn't say seeking perfection, but we are perfect. We're seeking to be perfected or matured in him. And when you become, and as you come to that place, amen, here's what he's telling you to do. Forth into singing, huh? Stretch forth your curtains on your dwelling. Expand to the left or the right. But then he said in verse 4, he said, don't fear, for you will not be ashamed. And I spoke to that on last week as well, about how many of us have allowed fear to be our portion. And we have allowed fear and what people think of us. We've allowed strongholds, amen, to hold us back. We've allowed soul ties to keep us bound. Fear of people's opinions. Fear of what we think people's opinions are. Fear of our own shortcomings. Fear of success. Fear of failure. But we call it other things. And we mask it, but the real undercurrent is fear. And God is saying tonight, don't fear, for you will not be ashamed and you will not be disgraced. You'll forget the shame. He said, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. You'll forget the shame. But now, for those of us who were like, okay, that were with me last week, and you're like, all right, prophetess, I'm ready to step out. And as you're stepping out, you're seeing that the enemy of your soul is trying to come after you with everything that he has. You saw yourself moving forward, but then all of a sudden you just came to a halt. You've been looking around. All of a sudden you've been, you've been hearing a lot of conversations in the atmosphere, and you're looking around and you're seeing so-and-so seems to be doing better than me, and so-and-so is doing greater than me, and across the street, and everybody's overlooking me, and I don't know, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Well, I'm talking to you, and he's saying, listen, trust. First of all, he said, don't fret because of what they're doing. Don't worry about what the evil people are doing. Amen. Don't be envious of the workers of iniquity. I got that. He said, don't even worry about those people that are doing evil. And we got to be And I want to say this, people of God, for some of us out there, we got to quit looking at the news. Go to the news, get the information you need, amen, but pull back from all of that, because the news, most of the time, everything that comes at you is about fear and death and destruction, nothing good. And if you continuously listen to that junk, you're wondering why you're sitting up here jumping at every crack, every little tease, somebody come around the corner, you jumping, and, oh, you scared me. Because you've allowed that spirit of fear to enter your mind. You can't sleep at night because your mind is wandering about the what-ifs, the what-ifs, the what-ifs. And most of the time, people, God, the what-ifs never come to pass. But the enemy allows you to lose sleep. He allows you to become distracted. Because that's what's happening right now for some of us. He's trying to distract us from pursuing what God has told us to pursue. So he's saying, listen, trust in the Lord. Verse 3. Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. That word faithful right there, amen, means to be full of faith, to be steadfast, loyal, to be firm, conscientious, with a strong assurance. We don't have enough faithful people of God. They're faithful as long as you're in front of them, but the minute that you turn your head, it goes another way. We're faithful as long as somebody is holding our hand the whole way, but leave us be for 5 minutes and we're already sinking. Jesus told Peter when he said, when he told him to come, when he said, Master, if that you bid me to come, he said, come. And as he began to walk on the water towards him, and he started looking at the winds and the waves that were coming, and as my husband preached the message, the winds of doctrine, all the voices, he got distracted by what was around him. He began to lose his focus, which was Jesus, and immediately he began to sink. He cried out, Master, help me. Jesus was already there. And the thing is, as he was grabbing his hand and pulling him up, he said, why did you doubt? Why are we not faithful to him? Why do we have a hard time being faithful to a God who is faithful and just to us? We are more faithful to our best friends. We are more faithful to our children. We are more faithful to our job. We are more faithful to our spouses. We are even more faithful to make sure that we make it to church and go to our auxiliaries every week. But when it comes to believing in what thus saith the Lord, we have a problem with being faithful. He says trust. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, when I looked up that word delight, it took me to the book of Job 22 and 26, which says here, for then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. Psalms 94 and 19 says, in a multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Prophetess, you don't understand what I'm dealing with. Listen, the word has to be your, I don't know why I'm on this word, your portion, but the word has to be your breath, your food. The word has to be something that you eat and sleep with. It has to become one with you. It can't be something that you pick it up and, okay, that's good, and then I put it back down. You have to get it on the inside of you, and the only way that you can get it on inside of you is that that word has to be constantly rehearsed to you. And even the writer of the book of Psalms says, listen, I'm dealing with a whole bunch of stresses like you can never believe. but in the multitude of my anxiety, the multitude of my fears, the multitude of my unbelief, the multitude of my doubts, your comforts. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. The comforter, your comfort delights my soul. I want to say this. One thing I love about the old saints and some of the old way of doing things, not that everything that they did was perfect, but you know what? When you look back on it, the older that I'm getting, I'm realizing that some of the stuff that the older saints were talking about, too crazy after all. They were so focused on just making sure that they pleased him. They didn't worry about all this other stuff. We have too many things going on in our lives, amen, in this new age that distracts us from hearing even the voice of the master. For many of us, we don't even know, can't even make a simple decision because we have so many distractions going on around us. And in those distractions, all it does is keep you from making a decision that you need to be dealing with. So we're always dealing with our computers. We're always on our phones. We're always on our iPads. We're always looking at television. When we're going in our car, we're driving down the street listening to our radio. We always have something going on in our background. Because when there's silence, that's when things start shaking and begin to rumble, and I don't want to deal with this, and why do I have to handle this situation, and this is coming upon me, and I don't know what to do, so I try to numb myself with distractions, and the enemy is fine with that, because as long as you numb yourself, you will never prepare yourself, and when you're not prepared, then when he comes, amen, and surprises you, you're not prepared, you have nothing in place to do battle. So then many of us are taken aback, or many of us are still sitting on the sidelines when we should have already been prepped for battle and out there fighting. We're somewhere still, I don't know, maybe, I think, you know, look kind of rough out there. Well, you know, I done gave my time, you know, hey, let somebody else do it. That ain't in my job description. And we have become weak. And we have become lazy. And we have become very, what's the word I want to look? Very ineffective. But you what? But don't mess up on that title. Better not call me outside of my title. We don't see no fruits anywhere with that title. I'm going to leave that alone. Isaiah 58:14 says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Delight yourself in him. Well, what do you mean by delight? That word means extreme satisfaction. Saints used to say, I'm happy with Jesus alone. When was the last time you heard that saying? You know why? We haven't heard it because we're not happy with Jesus alone. We're not happy until we got that mansion. We're not happy until we're living the lifestyles of the rich and infamous. When we're at that level, then I'll be happy. I'll be happy when I don't have to worry about my crazy kids, when I don't have to pay another bill, and then I don't worry about no sickness. Then I'll be happy. Because we have been listening to teachings that tell us, amen, that this you need to be living the best life that you can ever live on this earth. God intended for you to live the best life ever. This is your now. Live in your now. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where it says live in your now. People, we better wake up and start turning the pages of the book. The Bible says persecution shall come. The Bible says offenses shall come. The Bible says tests and trials shall come to try your faith. What is this Christianity of ease that we have all of a sudden embraced? What is all this hyper grace we have all of a sudden embraced that has nothing to do with the word? It's all erroneous. And we have people teaching us and feeding us this garbage. And we are too lazy to turn the pages and seek after him. We're too lazy to get in prayer, to even pray 5 minutes and just say, Lord, what is your will for me today? Trust in some things, men and women of God. We're not going to get until we trust in him. God has to be our all in all. He's not going to give you that thing until he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you lose it, he may give it to you today and take it from you tomorrow, but you got to be okay. You still got to have a praise in your mouth, a hallelujah in your hand, and a dance in your feet. But most of us, we're seeking after him with everything because we're trying to get the thing and really not trying to get him. And you become frustrated. When, God, when is it going to happen for me? How has the prophets been prophesied? Let's go with the prophets been prophesied. Everything that the prophets have prophesied. Amen. Always remember, it is conditional. It is contingent upon your trust and obedience towards him. Those two go hand in hand. As you do this, God will do that. As you do that, God will do this. And then there may be some of you that I do love him. I honor God. I want him. But you're still struggling in some areas because you have become, you're still preoccupied with what's going on around you. You're preoccupied, amen, with how you feel. He still called you. Even with the bad attitude, he still called you. You know you got the jealousy spirit, he still called you. It's your job, and my job to put that stuff under the blood. Get delivered. Amen. Keep it under the blood. Certain things, we all have certain issues in our lives that we're dealing with, people of God, that we must continuously keep under the blood, that we can't handle it on our own. And as long as we stay in a posture of submission unto him, then God will continually work through us for his glory. As you trust in the Lord, and then you will dwell in the land, trust and do good, dwell in the land, delight yourself in him. And as you do that, here it comes, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, I want you to look at this same passage of scripture, and I want to read it in the Amplified, because this thing just took me out right here. I was like, whoa, I never realized that. Some of you have been crying out to God, interceding, speaking to God on others' behalf, and then you have been putting some petitions before him, and you've been continuously putting those petitions before him, amen, and it's been years, and you look like, I still don't see anything, and I don't know, but yet just about the time you're about to give up, he always brings a prophet or a man or woman of God or the word to you, and he tells you, don't give up. Do it all over again. It's going to work out for the good. I'm in it. I'm in it. And you get rejuvenated and you go forth again, but it still don't seem like nothing's breaking in the atmosphere. So the Lord brought this scripture to me. He said, I want to read the same passage of scripture. Let's see here. I want to read it in a different translation. One moment, people. God, I'm having a little technical difficulties, but God is good anyway and anyhow. Amen? He said, excuse me, it says, get insurance with God and do a good deed. Settle down and stick to your last. Keep company with God. In other words, relationship. Strengthen those cores. Strengthen those ties, those relationships. Open up before God. Keep nothing back. He'll do whatever needs to be done. He'll validate your life. I was like, okay, God, okay. Well, but this is the part that I also really like. He said, delight yourself. Reading this out of Amplified. He said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Ha! So you thought he wasn't hearing you. You about to give up. You was ready to throw in the towel. You know, I'm going to let this thing go. I done held, I done cried too long over it. I done ran after the golden chariot. It's over. I'm through. But he said, if you delight yourself in me, he will give you the desires. In the King James, it just says he'll give you the desires of your heart. But in the Amplified Version, he says he will not only give you the your desires, but the secret desires. The secret petitions, the things that you haven't told nobody about, what you've been going to God for years that nobody seems to know but you and him. And maybe one or two other people. He said, that was there, the thing you won't speak out in front of anybody. He said, that is what I'll give you. You got to get happy right here. Because some of us, amen, there's to it. There's plans. There's vision, there's books. Some of us have different levels of ministry. Some of us have businesses on the inside of us, things we've been wanting to do for years. We can't seem to rub two nickels together and a piece of lint to make it happen. He's saying that, but you can't seem to shake it. It won't let you go because that is what he has placed on the inside of you. And as you continue to trust in him and delight in him, he said, I will give that to you. I will give you the vision, give you the plan, make sure you meet the right people, give you the favor, give you the money at the bank, give you the favor of the banker so that you, and show you where the building is so that you can produce what I place on the inside of you. Uh-huh. Think of somebody. But on the flip side of that, some of us have been struggling with some secret things, huh? We've been keeping it under the blood. We've been trying to bind it up, but it still won't seem to let us go. The very secret things we've been crying out to the Lord, saying, God, this ain't your spirit. This isn't the right. You got to deliver me here, right now. I need a breakthrough. The secret things. Because let's face it, every secret thing isn't about building another church. There are some things that keep you up at night. There are some things, amen, that we're around the corner hoping nobody sees. There's some things we try to keep the skirts down because we really don't want people to see what's up under there. Those things, we know it's ugly, we know it's trifling, and we're asking God to deliver. We've been praying, we've been fasting. It looks like one minute we're going good, and then we seem to slide back. And those things, those chains that the enemy tries to keep pulling you back about your past, pulling you back about an incident, pulling you back about a mistake you'd have made, those things, those secrets. I know you thought it was all about the jobs and all about the money coming and all about the new house and the mansion on the hill and the money coming all out and you about to be a rock star. You thought it was all that. That's just one facet of it. And secret petitions. Some of them, it could just be your child is out there. You haven't seen your son or daughter in 10 years. They strung out on drugs. You haven't heard from them. You're like, Lord, are they even still alive? Just save them, Jesus. Save them. Wherever they may, save them. Someone might be in prison. A loved one in prison. You're asking God to save them. You are asking God to save them, but they still went in, still going crazy, still doing wild things. Even while they're in there, they're even acting more crazier than when they went in. You're asking God to save the secret things. Come on now. The secret stuff that keeps you up at night. Maybe the enemy has attacked your body with a sickness that doesn't want to seem to go away. One minute you're doing good. Next minute you're down for 3 months. Get back up, you're up for 6 months. Then you're down for another 6 months. The secret thing, God, I just want to be healed so I can just go forth and do what you called me to do. The secret things. I know what I'm talking about. You can sit there and act like you ain't got no problems if you want to. But he said, commit your way. Delight yourself in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Commit your way. All right. So in other words, I need to quit worrying about this stuff. I need to quit worrying about how I'm not doing this and this bill and is it getting paid and this church member is acting up with. This person over here is slandering my name after all I did for them, and my spouse is acting crazy, and the kids is acting foolish in school, and I'm working this dead-end job, and the more I seem to do, the less they seem to recognize me. He said, listen, cast it. Commit your way. Who are we truly living for? Who are we truly serving? If we are serving the Master, if we're serving God, then he will make sure that we will always come out, or you will always come out on top. Everybody else will get washed away, but he'll make sure you still stand. But you can't get caught up in all of those winds of doctrine, all those naysayers, all those fearmongers, all those haters, all those liars. Can't get caught up in all that mess. But he said, you got to cast your burden. That word, commit your way to the Lord. You got to cast the burden. He used to say, cast your burden on the Lord and leave it there. You can go to the altar, cast your burden on the Lord and leave it there. We cast just enough, but we still trying to control that thing. They say, cast it. Apostle always says, you got to get a so what in your spirit about things. And little bit by little bit, I'm coming more and more to that revelation every day. You got to get a so what in your spirit as you cast it on the Lord. See, when you really cast your cares on Jesus, when you cast your cares and say, Lord, I'm dealing with this, this, that, the other, and that, but you know what? You're a God that can save. You're a God that fails not. You got to talk to yourself and remind yourself who he really is, because we talk about these problems as though they have more power than the creator. And as we're saying all that, we get scared, we get fearful, and as we're getting scared and fearful, we become numb and we don't do anything. We become immobilized. So he says in Proverbs 16:3, he said, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord. So whatever you're doing, you got to ask yourself, is it really of God? And let me say something. Let me help some of us out there. We need to quit following these people on Facebook as though they are our leaders. That's about 85 95%, I'll even say it like this, there's about 95% of these folks up on here on the Facebook, amen, that are not who they claim to be. They don't have, they got the image in their own mind. But you got to remember, Facebook is seeing a glimpse of your life. And usually it's that what you want us to see. You take the pictures all in this fancy hotel and certain areas of a hotel talking about this, you know, look at us. And you sitting here in somebody else's house, but your house is a shack. And I'm not saying. There are, that's why I said I'm saying 95% because there are some men, some righteous men, righteous women of God that are on there that are preaching and teaching the truth. But it's a lot of them on there that ain't doing nothing but trying to pull members, trying to proselyte, trying to build an image, present an image that is not a, that's not reality. Saying all of this little stuff, giving perception of what they think the Word of God is saying, but it's not. And they bombard you, have you thinking, oh, I'm doing the greatest, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and ain't doing nothing. All it is just a photo shoot. And that's what I want to call it, a photo shoot that's been photoshopped. And when you actually show up at their church, you find out you got it's in their living room. But while they was blowing it all up on Facebook, had you looking at a church that had about 5,000 members. I'm not telling you something I don't know. I'm telling you things I've experienced. People say a whole lot when they're not in front of you. They can show you anything until you actually show up on their doorstep. Some ministries we've gone to, fabulous. Wonderful men and women of God, true servants of the Most High Lord. And some of them were just as ratchet. And I don't even know how they even thought that they could slap a title on their name. So you can't get caught up. I'm saying all that to say this. You can't get caught up in what somebody else is doing. I'm even bringing home even closer. I saw a person make a comment talking about they're in the same, I'm standing next to T.D. Jakes. I'm in the same room as T.D. Jakes. I'm excited. Wait a minute, but you're not at his personal table. Where in the room is Jakes? On the other side of the room? The way you're talking, like he's standing right next to you. You understand what I'm saying? The perception. And you have people thinking, oh, child, you right there with him. You doing the doggone thing. But he don't even know you. Now, you doing the doggone thing when you sitting up there on the pulpit with him. Or you know what I'm saying? Or you sitting there when he pulling you in the back and letting you share in a one-on-one with him. And he's sharing himself. That's when you're doing something. Other than that, baby, you one of the number. One of the number. One of the many trying to be. That's why you got to make sure your way is committed to him and your work is committed to him. Because if you're not committed, if you get to looking at everybody else, they'll have you thinking you ain't doing nothing for the kingdom. When the very thing that you are doing is what God called you to do. And you're effective at it. But he'll get you to think, the enemy will get you to think, and people will get you to think that that's what you're doing ain't making no changes. But it's the very link that allowed them to do what they do. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Cast your burden. He said, trust. Commit your way. Cast your burden. Commit your works. 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care, all your care, all your stresses, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your fears, all your doubts, all your what ifs, cast them upon him, for he cares for you. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's what it says here. And he shall bring it to pass. In Amplified, it says, commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care. Some of you need to get in prayer tonight, at least before this weekend is over with, and roll and lay every care, every doubt. As they used to say, you need to have a come to Jesus moment. Some of y'all, some of us, the most saved and high and the mighty, we need to have a come to Jesus moment, and we need to talk to the Master and lay it on the altar and nail it there. And nail it there and trust him. Roll it and repose each care. And be honest with him. He already knows your heart anyway. He know you mad at that person. He know you jealous of that person. He know you envious of that situation. He know you about ready to. He knows. But you need to be honest with yourself. He said, roll each of your cares upon him. Trust. Lean on him. Rely on him. And be confident also in him. And he will bring it to pass. And he will make your righteousness and right standing with God go forth as the light and your justice and right as the shining sun of the noonday. God will not forget you. Listen, people of God, let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, thank you for this word. Help us, your people, to lay it at your feet and lay it on the altar and leave it there. Help us to delight our way in you, commit our way before you, commit our works to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, and help us to obey most of all, God. Help us to obey your will and your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. For those of you who aren't saved, repeat this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you. I'm a sinner. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Live in me. I'll serve you. In Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer? Amen. You are now into the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries pray that you will join a Bible-believing and teaching church that is going to prepare you, train you, tour you into the things of the kingdom. Listen, our prophetess Crystal McQueen, go to my website, www.ctkr.org, or hit me up on Facebook, WOPD, or Women of Prophetic Destiny. I would love to hear from you. I will see you again next week at 7 p.m. for another broadcast of Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed in the Lord. Amen. Good night.